Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you all this morning. If I had the chance to meet you at our meet and greet, I'm glad I got to meet you. If I have not met you yet, I hope that we will get to meet soon. This is an exciting time for Forest Hills as you all move forward in how God is leading you. My prayer is that He would make it clear to you this morning as we look at God's word together, what it is that He is saying. First, I would like for us to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be gathered in your house this morning. We have entered this sacred space looking for a word from you. I pray that the words that you have laid upon my heart will be shared clearly through this message. Quiet our thoughts and help us to focus only on you. In Jesus' name we lift this prayer. Amen. When I began praying about this sermon, I could not get the command that we have probably all heard from the Lord at one time or another to follow me out of my head. Over the last couple of months in conversation with the search committee, it has been my prayer that the Lord would make His plans clear to me, to the committee, and ultimately to you, the church, as we journeyed through this process of call together. This morning, I want to spend some time explaining a little bit about my call, but I also want to remind you of the call that God extends to each of us every day, and that is to follow Him. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and open them up to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to be starting in verse 18. And I'm going to read that for us this morning, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And it says this: As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. And then if we keep reading right below that, the passage we see Jesus also call James and John. And it says, going on from there, He saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus called and the disciples responded immediately. They didn't stop to think about it. They didn't check their planner or their phone calendar to see if the schedule was clear. Jesus called and they responded. When Jesus calls to us, He requires a response. For me, I responded to the call to follow Jesus when I was 12 years old. You see, I grew up in the church. My mom and dad took me to church before I was born. And to give you an even better understanding of my parents' dedication to raising me in a Christian home, my dad is also a minister. We lived in the parsonage, which was right beside the church, so every time there was something going on in the church, we were there. And I loved every second of it. Now, I will say that wasn't always the case when I was a child because I was very shy and I didn't like to talk to people. So this made the walk down the aisle to the front of our church to tell my pastor that I wanted to be baptized very difficult. But God was moving in my life and I knew I had to respond. I made the decision to follow Jesus years prior, but I was too scared to walk down front and tell anyone. Well, one Sunday, I made the decision that I was going to do it. So as soon as our organist started playing the closing hymn, I didn't even have my hymnal open. I just started walking because I didn't want to chicken out. On June 1st, 2003, I was baptized at North Run Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And this was my first response to follow Jesus and to commit to living a life that was pleasing unto Him. Fast forward with me, if you will, just a little bit to my junior year in high school. I'm now 16, and my youth minister, also known as Dad, has taken us to a senior high retreat at Eagle Eyrie in Lynchburg, Virginia. And this year, they were offering a new tract they called Emerging Leaders. And in this session, they were teaching us about our spiritual gifts and how God places a call upon our lives to serve Him through our vocation, whether that's a veterinarian, a preacher, a teacher, a lawyer. Well, it was during this session that I began to realize that my call from the Lord was not yet done. He was calling me into ministry. During the time of decision that night during worship, the pastor leading the retreat offered an invitation for anyone feeling led to full-time Christian ministry to please stand. So I stood, and I was immediately taken into a conference area to consult with a counselor. The counselor then told me that surely I misunderstood, for God did not call women into ministry. Heartbroken and very distraught, I returned to my youth group at our cabin, where I was reassured that God could indeed call whoever He chooses into ministry, and that I should pursue that call. This led me to Campbell University, where I pursued a degree in Christian ministry as an undergrad, and then a Master of Divinity after I graduated from undergrad. During my time at Campbell, I had the opportunity to serve at First Baptist Smithfield as their intern at first, and then part-time on staff with their youth. I was able to work there for 5 years, and then after getting married to my husband, Kevin, I moved to Greenville, North Carolina, and began working as a campus minister through CBSF at ECU. I enjoyed my time at ECU, but I missed working in the church, and my heart longed to be a part of a church staff again. This led me to Flat Springs Baptist in Sanford, North Carolina, where I have worked the last 5 years, serving children, youth, and their parents as associate pastor. The Lord called, and I responded. The call that the Lord places upon our lives is ever-changing. We have that initial call, much like the disciples, where Jesus calls us to lay down what we're doing and follow Him. But after that initial call, the call becomes a journey in which we live our lives constantly asking ourselves, what is God calling us to do next? I believe that Jesus offers a call, asks us to respond, and then calls us to go. In Matthew 28:16, it says these words, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" The Great Commission, we have all heard this, the last command given to us before Jesus ascended into heaven, the last call to follow Him in living a life that is good and pleasing to His sight, the call to go. The call to go can mean different things for different people. For some, it can mean traveling across the ocean to people on the other side of the world. And for some, it could mean reaching out to your neighbor who lives right next door. I found this poem written by a lady named Sandra Goodwin, and I think it is a good reminder of how the Lord can use us as His servants and how going can mean different things to different people. The poem goes like this. "Last night I took a journey to a land far across the seas. I didn't go by boat or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in deepest depths of sin, and Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, 'Jesus, I can't go and work with such as these.' He answered quickly, 'Yes, you can, by traveling on your knees.' He said, 'You pray, I'll meet the need. You call, and I will hear. Be concerned about lost souls of those both far and near.' And so I tried it, knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease. I felt the Lord right by my side while traveling on my knees. As I prayed on and saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed, and saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I have a job, my desire, thy will to please. I can go and heed thy call by traveling on my knees. The call upon our lives as Christians is to first love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is through that love for the Lord to love people created in his image. In order to share that love, we have to go. Whether that means we go and share that love in our heart through our prayers for others, or we get on an airplane to reach people in far corners of the world, we are called to go just the same. I would be remiss if I did not share this one experience of my going out into the world. And I mentioned to y'all earlier that as a child, I was very shy. Well, as a child, I was also very anxious, which, if I'm being honest, I still haven't quite outgrown. So for me, getting on an airplane takes a lot of traveling on my knees before I even get to the airport, if you understand what I'm saying. So the first international mission trip I took was with a youth group at First Baptist, and we went to Belize. It was a life-changing trip in that it took me out of my comfort zone and made me trust God in ways that I daily took for granted. It opened my eyes to so many blessings, but it also helped unlock the call to go. The team that I was on in Belize was the children's ministry team, and we were tasked with going to a local school and running an abbreviated vacation Bible school. It was at this VBS that I met a little girl. Now, in Belize, most of the people spoke Spanish, but they did understand us a little bit in the Spanish that we were trying to speak to them. I did take Spanish in high school and college, but my ability to speak is very poor. anyway, that particular day, we were teaching a lesson on Adam and Eve from Genesis, and we were trying to communicate the message that God created you and loves you. And I was sitting there with this little girl. We were coloring a picture, and so she had a picture and I had a picture, and we were coloring, and she began to copy what I was drawing. And it was Adam and Eve in the garden, and in the corner I had written, Jesus loves you. And on her paper, she had drawn the same thing, but she wrote in her corner, Jesus loves me. I still have that picture in my office with a picture of both of us holding those pictures up side by side to remind me to never forget the call to go, to never forget and to never be scared of that call, because God will equip you. And finally, I believe that God calls us to respond and then go. He also asks us to remain in him in order to fulfill this call that he has placed upon our lives. In John 15, Jesus teaches about the vine and the branches, and he says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Apart from God, we are nothing. Apart from God, we will not be able to fulfill the call he has placed upon our lives. And apart from God, we cannot bear fruit. I stand before you today with the call upon my life to be a minister, to share the gospel with others, to walk with others through this journey of life when times get hard and seem impossible to keep going, and in times of great joy when it seems like things could not possibly get any better. It is a privilege and it is a great joy to be able to walk alongside people throughout their life's journey, but without the Lord and the way he sustains me to be his servant, I could not do it. I found a story that I feel like expresses this sentiment exactly. Remaining in Christ so that we can be sustained to walk the path that he has called us to walk. The story is entitled The Evolution of the Rose, and the story goes like this. A couple years ago, I got to take a tour of the Huntington Library in Pasadena, California. The name is a bit misleading because what they are most known for is their amazing gardens. And so we're on this tour, and I got to learn something about the history of roses, and it goes something like this. There have been roses since we have been on this planet, but the wild roses in Europe, while all different colors and quite beautiful, would only bloom once a year. And so for most of the warm months, you would only be looking at a bunch of ugly green canes with thorns, no flowers. But then some botanists in the late 18th century began experimenting by grafting the Chinese wild rose, which was only green but bloomed all summer, with the European rose, and after a bunch of testing, created what we know to be the modern rose, which blooms from June through October, not only in green, but in a myriad of colors. Isn't that interesting? So roses as we know them are really a modern invention. And because of the grafting of the wild Chinese rose with the roses of Europe, we have this stronger, much more beautiful flower than we ever had before. When Jesus speaks of the vine and the branches, he is speaking about a similar phenomenon. When we abide in Christ, we produce fruit we were never capable of producing before. Just like the roses were grafted together to be able to reach a new potential, a more beautiful and long-lasting potential, when we abide in Jesus, we are able to do far more than we could ever imagine. The beauty of following Jesus is that we do so in relationship with him. We are never alone. We are sustained and can grow through our connection with the vine, but apart from him, we will wither. Jesus calls us to follow him, to drop whatever notion we have in our mind of what we should be doing or how we should be living, and to respond by following him right then and there. Once we respond to this call, he challenges us to go and make more disciples that can further fulfill the gospel and share the good news with those near and far. And finally, we are called to remain in him throughout our lives so that we can be strengthened to be the best disciples that he has equipped us to be.